Welcome to the Landlord Diaries, where we talk about midterm rentals and the opportunities behind them. We'll share landlord stories, talk about maximizing investment potential, and discuss how to live the very best landlord life. This podcast is proudly brought to you by Furnished Finder, the leader and largest online marketplace for midterm rentals. Remember to like and subscribe if you enjoy our content.
Hello, everyone. We are back with another great episode of the Landlord Diaries podcast. This is your host, Kelly Bailey and Katie Lyon, coming to you as midterm rental hosts, enthusiasts, and Furnished Finder marketing team. We appreciate you guys listening and giving your feedback. And today we talk to both a travel nurse that's been in the industry for over a decade and a midterm rental host at the same time. Katie, what did you get from Ricardo today?
Yeah, Ricardo is an ICU nurse who's traveled and he's also taken assignments at home as a staff position. But he's turned his duplex that he purchased into a house hack, but a house hack that he's made into room rentals for other travel nurses. So he's really taken his knowledge of the industry and the space and turned it into something that can benefit all sorts of nurses who are coming to serve his local community. He's done an amazing job and he's really made the most out of his property, adding bedrooms and just making these great room rentals. So we're excited for you to hear this one and hopefully have some great takeaways. And thanks for everybody for listening. And please remember, if you are enjoying this content, please share with someone else in your world that you think might benefit from it.
Ricardo Sanchez is both an ICU travel nurse with over a decade of experience and a Furnished Finder host in Indianapolis with an 8-bedroom duplex house hack. Ricardo, we're so excited to jump into your story today. Why don't you tell us how long you've been in the medical field and your experience with permanent and travel positions?
Sure. So I've been nursing for about 12 years. I originally started off right outside Chicago, and I was in a progressive care unit. About 3 years in, I started traveling locally in Indiana first, and then I found a job down here in 2015 in Indianapolis, which the hospital, I really enjoyed it at the time, had a really good work environment. So I ended up taking a staff job there because they had a surgical ICU. They did a lot of open heart recovery, and that was just very interesting to me. So at that time, I was starting to rent down here. And after about a year and a half, I was just tired of paying rent. I was paying $1,200 for a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. It was right by work, so it was convenient. And at that time, my daughter was in school, so it was great because she had her own room, bathroom. And so it worked out pretty great. But yes, I did get tired of paying $1,200 a month and not seeing anything for it. So I started looking at just buying a house. I was like, well, maybe I just buy a house. I like this job. This is, I think I'm going to stay in Indianapolis eventually. So I was looking around and I was searching on the internet. I was trying to use my VA loan to put a down payment. And through those videos, I came across a few veterans that had started doing these house hacks. And so that's when I started learning about, okay, you can rent out the rooms, you know, like, oh, it's almost like if I was renting the room to my daughter, she'd be paying half rent, you know?
So family house concept, hack.
Yeah. I was like, oh, okay. So I could see how that would work. You know, it was pretty solid, you know, as far as the concept goes. So I did find, after looking around, I didn't find anything near the hospital, but I found a duplex that was near the downtown area, like just, you know, a mile from the city center. And when I saw how many rooms that it had, I said, oh man, this is going to be great because I can, you know, through the videos I was watching, they were renting out room by room, which was one of the house hacks, you know, instead of just, you're renting out a room that you're, the side of the house that you're living in with a duplex, it's a total separate unit. So I did talk to my real estate agent about that, about what I was trying to do. I wanted to get a multi-unit house so that I can rent the other side out. It'll pay for the mortgage like I had seen on the videos. Well, And he found one that was right downtown. And fortunately, this property had been in the past rented to college students in the same fashion. You know, like they were renting room by room. So when I did get here, you can see they had like some of the walls are still painted with the Greek symbols and, you know, their, you know, the college signs. So we did a quick paint over, and in the first month, I've already had other college students in that side. Since my daughter was still going to school, I just had her paste up some flyers or like ask your friends if you have any friends down here that need any place to stay. And
you're giving me some fun flashbacks to college days.
Yeah. College days were fun. Luckily, there wasn't any crazy college parties here. Not that I know of, at least, you know. But I'm sure they enjoyed their time there. Most of the college students that I did have for the first year, they stayed, you know, a semester or two semesters. So there was really no upkeep. Now, it was during that time that COVID had hit towards the end of that. So I ended up taking another travel assignment at that time. And my daughter and her boyfriend were living on my side of the duplex. And they were just kind of like managing whatever needed to be done on the rental side, which really wasn't much because the rooms are already rented. And, you know, I didn't have to do any promoting or any more advertising. So they pretty much just needed to be there in case something happened. They needed to change a light bulb or they needed to, if the tenants needed to contact me for any reason, I had somebody here because I was at the time, I think I was in New Jersey traveling. One interesting thing that I forgot to mention was that when I bought the house through my VA loan, I didn't have to put any money down. So I didn't put any money down on it. And then they deferred the payment for like 2 months. So, and then they gave me $1,200 for closing, right? So that's first month's payment. But by that time, I already had people in there. So like, to be totally honest, I don't think I really like made a payment out of my pocket yet. It's all been carrying itself. But I think that it's also part of the karmic cycle. Like, you know, I think it all has to do with each other. So I'm fine with the way things are right now, since my concentration really is the self-help and, you know, the wellness, because that is, man, it's just so important. You know, it's just so important. There's a lot of nurses out there that maybe don't want to travel anymore, but they are really, you know, they are really reliant on that money. And so they're out there, they're doing it because they can't find something else right now. So that worked out actually for the good year and a half, 2 years while I was traveling through the pandemic. And she ended up starting using Airbnb because one of the students left. And then so she had a room open and I had given her the opportunity to say, hey, you know, if you can make money off that room, like if you can rent it out, you can save the money, you know, for yourself, you know, like kind of like an experience to get into that market, because I knew that the real estate is actually a really good market to get into. But you have to have a kind of a business mindset a little bit. So she was more into her schools, which is great. She did get it rented out through Airbnb. She ended up getting two rooms rented out through Airbnb. And when I came back, I still had the Airbnbers there because they were not students. They were, you know, other professionals that moved into the area that were looking for a short-term stay, you know, something for like a month or two. But at the fully furnished and at the price it was at the time, was $800 a room. It was a great deal for them. And so they would, you know, they ended up staying for about a year, both of them. And then when I came home in 2021 from the pandemic, I wanted to change everything over to Furnish Finder because along that whole time when I was traveling, I was using Furnish Finder, you know, all over the place, in New Jersey, Florida, Illinois, and California. So I knew that it was a great resource. And I also was able to find other listings that were sharing rooms like what I wanted to do. There was one in New Jersey that had five bedrooms. And it was like, I forget what those buildings called, but they're the long skinny buildings that are like three tops, and they've got all the rooms that are way back. But they had two floors like that were rented out to travel nurses. And I was like, oh, these guys are really, really doing it, you know, because I know they're making their mortgage with maybe one or two rooms, and all the rest of them are, they can reinvest or they can cash flow on that. So when I got home, my daughter graduated just at the same time. And then, so when she left, so now I was kind of like, all right, we're going to change it over, and I'm going to move away from Airbnb, and we're going to go all towards Furnish Finder, because I really wanted to focus on the travel nurses. I thought that, you know, since I'm also a travel nurse, I think I would be able to kind of anticipate some of the needs. So with my traveling through the pandemic, there was a little bit of burnout that happened there towards the end, which is ultimately why I came home. I really needed just to kind of rest and just recuperate. But I realized that it's because during time on the road, I didn't have a lot of resources. Like I like to practice yoga. I really don't go to the gym, but I like to be active with riding bikes and all that. So when I go to a new travel place, a new assignment, there's always a discovery period, which is probably like the first month of like, where's this at? How do I, you know, find, you know, these best trails, or where's the best food sources at? And so I figured, while I'm here, I can kind of provide that to the nurses, since I know that's what they're going to want to need anyway. So this is where the idea started, as far as providing a kind of like a therapeutic place for travel nurses, because the travel nurses, majority don't have, you know, these resources readily available when they get to a new place. And sometimes you can easily defer to less constructive things to release stress, right? So you can go out, you can, you know, get hungover and all that stuff. But what I think was needed was, if I would able to, you know, kind of recharge after my shifts, or if I was able to constructively kind of decompress all, you know, all the stress that I was building during those working conditions, I would be able to respond, you know, or get back to the bedside, revitalized, you know, rejuvenated, more energy, and able to carry on, you know, in my best abilities. This all just started maybe in June or July, where I decided that it's going to be, you know, an eightplex. I was actually trying to get another property. So I shopped around for practically 3 months looking for another property, so that I can, you know, kind of expand the business idea that I had. And the business idea is going to be MetaHealth Resources, LLC, so that the nurses can kind of, honestly, come to like a hub, because I wanted there to be very easy outreach to like local practitioners that do Reiki, that do massage, do acupuncture, or Ayurvedics. So I do have just a small little cork board with cards up there, but that's about it for now. I do plan on getting like the infrared saunas. They have these two-person infrared saunas that are, you know, you can fit them in the house. I haven't been able to get one yet, but those are up and coming.
So Ricardo, correct us if I'm wrong here, but you've taken this property and you've started renting by the room to college students, and now you're renting completely to medical professionals, correct? And then you started just kind of as a general, I'm gonna call it a generalist, right? Like, here is a room if you would like to rent it. And now what you're in the process of doing is really creating this niche in the space for yourself, saying this is a home and a hub for medical professionals who also care about this type of health and wellness and have this interest in, you know, taking care of your mind and body in this certain way. I think that's incredibly smart on your part, because you've carved out a part of that market for yourself, and you're also offering something that A, is very intuitive and passionate for you, and B, not everybody else can do, right? If Kelly or I were to try to start a home that incorporated Reiki and infrared and massage, like, we would be the biggest phonies in the world because we have no idea. So tell us, even if you're just at the very beginning of this, right? Like you said, a lot of this is kind of your future plans. How do you anticipate that that will affect you as a landlord, whether it's the types of tenants that you get, the type of management that you need to do, the type of services you provide? How are you hoping that this all kind of benefits you as a landlord and as an investor?
As long as it's really not costing me much, as long as it's not taking away from me, I feel like I am able to make a larger impact than if I was at the bedside. And the reason is because my perception is, you know, if I'm at work, you know, I work in the ICU, so I'll get a patient or two every day that I can, you know, treat. If I was to have, say, 4 to 5 nurses that I had go to work every day that have been revitalized, that have been, you know, rejuvenated through the therapeutics that I have in place already. So I've got like grounding mattress covers already that are in the rooms. And so even if people aren't into grounding, it's still going to help them. It's still going to help their body. I've got the extra water filters on the showers, you know, that way they don't get, you know, all the chemicals that are coming in through the pores and all that. And I also provide purified water for those that want to drink. There's a purified water without the tap water. And then, like I said, I've got the painting, the frequencies, and that is more so for the psyche to calm and to kind of relax, inadvertently, not really trying to, because it does take effort for nurses to try and find those things and to really get motivated to leave your room and do that stuff. But if you're doing it, if it's happening passively to you just by being in the house, I feel like that that reserved or that replenished energy going out back to the bedside in 4 or 5 different nurses is just going to have a larger ripple effect to the patients and family than if it was just me grinding it out, you know, 3-4 days a week and showing up and treating the 2 patients that I do a day. You know, I can reach more patients that way and have a larger impact. So the money part is really almost like a secondary to the need, because the need is really there, and I know that. I know the need is there because I've lived through it. So that's where I think that my real purpose lies.
Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Furnished Finder, the ultimate platform for hassle-free midterm rentals. Whether you're a seasoned landlord or just getting started, Furnished Finder has everything you need to find your next tenant. With Furnished Finder, you can say goodbye to booking fees, markups, and commissions, and hello to direct bookings. If you're ready to experience all the benefits renting your property for 30 days or more, head over to furnishedfinder.com where you can list your property for one low annual price. We make it easy to get started.
I love how you're just trying something out and integrating things that are important to you. So I'm anxious to hear more about your duplex. So like Kelly said, I would love to just back up just for a second, because I know you mentioned that you worked with a realtor to find this property, but tell us more about like the actual setup of the property. And to give a little bit more information for our listeners here, we've talked already a lot about house hacking, and most real estate investors are familiar with that. But if you're new or unsure what that is, house hacking traditionally refers to, instead of purchasing a single family home or a condo or something, you would buy a duplex and you would rent out the other half that you live in to help offset your mortgage. But like you said, you can also do that in other ways by renting by the room. So you rent those other bedrooms to offset your mortgage. You could have an ADU that offsets your mortgage, anything like that, where you're using your own house that you're living in to create income and offset some of your expenses. So tell us more about your property, what it looks like, and then, like Kelly said, what you turned it into.
Sure. All right. So when I found the house, it was 1 mile from city center, and it's like 2 miles from, we've got five different hospital networks inside Indianapolis, and they all have their north, south, east campuses. You know, so there's a lot of travel nurses that do come through Indianapolis.
Let me pause real fast. I'm going to give a quick tip, furnish finder tip that we don't always get to talk about. Because I'm in the same type city. They'll put in, you know, I'm going to be working at Seton. I'm like, okay, great. There's like three Setons. So rather than when especially in large metropolitans, they're already getting bombarded with messages about check out my property because we know tenant leads is a sales opportunity, right? So what you can do is if you don't know which hospital they're referring to in your tenant lead, click send message, then click view profile, and you will see which properties they have favorited, which can give you an idea of what part of the city they're looking in. All right, keep going.
That is a pretty good tip. Uh-huh. I did realize that just not too long ago about looking at your favorites because I was looking at my favorite. I mean, I actually just used Furnish Finder to find a place in Fresno starting in February. Uh-huh. So,
and y'all don't worry about the if you're watching, don't worry about the people walking by. We're all homeowners here, and there's a furnace getting fixed, and that's a good thing, right?
Yeah. So the property. The real estate presented it to me as a duplex, as three bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms on each side. And so I thought, okay, that's great, man, because at least I know I can rent one side out. The other side, while I was looking on YouTube and learning about the house hacking and the renting part, I was also looking at what a three-bedroom, three-and-a-half-bathroom house would rent in Indianapolis, you know, because at first I was thinking maybe just to rent it out to another family, to somebody else. And I was like, oh, I can probably get, man, $900, $1,000 or something like that for the rent. And I was like, well, I mean, that's not going to cover the mortgage at the time. My mortgage was $1,200.
And that was about 6 years ago?
Right. Okay. So yeah, that was in 2018.
Okay.
So then I just thought about the college kids that he was saying that the college kids were paying, you know, close to $800, you know, a room. And so I'm like, okay, well, that's three rooms, you know, like I can make my mortgage back and then some. So I said, well, I'll just do that, you know, cause it's kind of easier. My daughter's in college and I can get the word out there. So that's how the setup was, for about the 2 years. It was, I had three bedrooms, two and a half bathrooms on one side. I lived on the other side. I made just a little bit over my mortgage to make operating costs. And so the house was just paying for itself. And that was great. I was pretty fortunate with the house, the way it was set up. So I've got all the bedrooms on the upstairs, three bedrooms upstairs. And then downstairs comes with the living room, dining room, and then your kitchen, and then your foyer in the back. So what I did on the first rental side is I cut a or I got a contractor to make a door into the dining room, okay, and then we built a deck around from the front porch around the side of the house. So when you come up the front stairs, you can walk around the side of the house to the door, and then the living room, I put a wall and a door there, and that turned it into just another bedroom. So now the dining room is pretty much your living room / dining room, and the reason I did that is because there was. Everyone stays in their room or they're gone, you know? So the living room and dining room was just like empty space that nobody spent time in. You know, all the rooms have their own TVs, flat screen TVs in there. So they really don't have to go down there to watch TV. And most people are sleeping or working. So I was like, that's just, you know, if I turn it into a room, that's another space, you know, it's another bed. So I first converted that side. Now, that was last summer. And then this, right before the winter, I ended up putting another deck on this side and putting a door right here. It's on the side of that. It's right on the side of the house. So it's still new, but it opens up to the deck. And then right behind me is I'll make a door here. And then this whole living room will be another bedroom. And they're big bedrooms. So that's turning a six a 6-bed unit into an 8-bed unit right there. And then I also, these two doors on the side were necessary because the doors are usually in the front of these living rooms. And so we won't be using those anymore. They've got to use the side doors.
That's smart. A lot of these older properties, you know, they have dining rooms or huge living rooms, whereas you don't necessarily need those giant spaces anymore, particularly if like you're doing, the goal is to have a lot of travelers. Started this as a house hack, right?
Right. So in 2018 and 2019, I was seeing a little bit more of a return because I wasn't doing much but just renting it out to the college kids. And so the extra money that I did have, you know, I wasn't like business minded. We're like, oh, I've got to put this right back into an account. I didn't have like a checking account or anything set up with it. That all happened when I came back after the pandemic. And then I said, okay, I'm going to make this a business. That's when I got an LLC. I ended up getting a checking account for a business checking account. And I started running everything through Furnished Finder because Furnished Finder has KeyCheck, and KeyCheck keeps records. For the first 2 years, the records, you know, it was between my daughter and me. And so it was just, there was no organization there. It was all a learning process. So now that I'm
that was when you were doing Airbnb with the college kids,
right? So, but now that you know, it's like, you know, I'm really trying to do a business with LLC. It's like I've got to have paperwork. I've got to, you know, save my receipts and everything like that.
Hey, landlords, are you ready to level up your rental game and simplify your midterm rental business? Well, get ready to meet your new best friend, KeyCheck. KeyCheck is your all-in-one solution for stress-free property management. With tenant-paid screenings, online rent payment processing, custom lease creation, and a suite of incredible landlord tools, you'll wonder how you ever lived without it. No more chasing down checks or sifting through piles of applications. KeyCheck helps you organize and manage all things landlording in a simple and efficient way. Make landlord life a breeze with KeyCheck, the game changer for modern property owners. Visit KeyCheck.com to unlock the power of stress-free property management and take your rental business to new heights.
So let's go through some quick hitters on the room rental side. So we're going to these will be like quick 30-second answers. You mentioned already a little bit about the cleaning. Are you cleaning just when someone moves in? Are you doing a monthly, a bi-weekly cleaning? Like, what's your cleaning schedule like?
So every other Wednesday is when I have a cleaning crew come in. They do all the common areas. They wipe everything down. They do the bathrooms. The only thing they won't do is they don't go into the private rooms. Each room has a deadbolt lock with a key. And so everyone is asked to just keep your private material in there, anything that you don't want, you know, the common use. But, you know, I do have a living room with a TV and all that, but no one really relaxes there because they're either at work or they're in the room sleeping or minding their own business a lot of times.
Yep. So let's dive into the room portion a little bit. You're getting ahead of me. I only asked about the cleaning so far. But no, that's a great transition. So in the rooms, we already know you have a queen bed. You also provide a TV in each bedroom. Is it a smart TV? Like, do they have to log in to, you know, their favorite streaming sites? Like, what's the TV setup like?
So they're 32-inch flat screen smart TVs. They are connected to the Wi-Fi. I have a high-speed Wi-Fi that's free. It's all the utilities are included. Now they could sign up. It is capable of streaming from their phone as long as they, you know, connect their phone with Bluetooth or whatever. So either they can sign into their account on the TV or they can use their phone. But the TVs have been fine. I provide everybody with towels and towels in a wash rag, you know, initially. In the laundry room, there's a linen closet that I just have a whole bunch of extra towels, rags and stuff. So if they want, they can access those. It's open. But usually the washer and dryer are in there so they can wash their own towels and stuff like that.
I think an important one to emphasize in a room rental situation is the idea of being able to get ready in your own room. So if you are shower, if it's a shared bathroom, well, someone might need to shower while someone else is putting on their makeup or doing their hair. So I think it would be good if you are doing a room rental situation that you make sure you've got a mirror and some sort of desk or something where, you know, those that want to get ready in their room can, and think about the towels as well. You don't want to encourage them to throw their towel on the bed or on the floor. So make sure you've got a towel rack hanging in each of the rooms as well. What other things have you found are important to have in each room?
So I do have a desk, and then each room does have like a full size dresser with the big mirror. One of the rooms has a standing mirror. But I also provide, a lamp that has USB, you know, charger hookups on there. Some of the beds have, the rollout, what are they called? The Tupperware type storage containers that roll underneath the bed, hangers in the closets. All the rooms have a closet except for the living room that's down here like this. I put a, one of those stand up, closet, like, the racks.
Like a wardrobe. Yeah.
Like a wardrobe rack. I put that in there. And then they all have a desk with a chair so that if they need to do homework or anything like that, they or study right on their, use their computer, they have somewhere to sit and a desk space as well.
So you're setting it up so they have everything they need within that room besides some stuff that obviously you're not going to put like 8 microwaves in your house. And bathrooms. So how is the bathroom situation work? And I think this would tie into the question of, have you ever had any issues with boundaries and house rules? And do you utilize that part of Furnished Finder? Because there is a spot for house rules that you could put right with your listing.
So, not really issues. So the bathrooms, the one upstairs is a full bathroom. It's got the tub, the shower, and it's a full size bathroom. Next to that is a half bathroom that's just the toilet and a sink. Now, that is connected to one of the rooms, so I lock that off to someone if they pay extra $50 to have that a personalized restroom for themselves. And then downstairs, it's a full bathroom, but it's only a stand-up shower. So the stand-up shower with... But I've not had any issues with, not that I've been made aware of, with people conflicting schedules or anything like that. We did have one person, this is at the beginning, that would always put their shoes, I don't know why they put their shoes in the bathtub, like they take their shower with
in
their shoes.
In the bathtub?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But, I mean, it's something that, you know, you would just run across, I don't know when, but I had to ask him to, like, can you not put your shoes wet in the shower? Like, I don't know. It was just kind of strange.
That is
but
strange.
That is the only really thing that I can really think about being an issue. I did put in a new bathtub on both sides now. I just finished putting a bathtub on my side, but I had a contractor put in a new bathtub on the rental side. And once I saw him do that, I thought I could do it on my side. It's been about 2 weeks, but I'm finally finishing up. I just painted it yesterday, so
that's not bad.
But it took me a little bit to kind of fit it in there. I didn't know how to do all that, but we're good to go on that.
Good. So let's wrap up with these quick hitters. So you've got the shared spaces. I think the last one I want to talk about is the kitchen area. Because if you're sharing with 4 bedrooms and 1 kitchen, how many refrigerators do you have? And how do you kind of give people their own personal space in the kitchen?
Yeah. So when I bought the house, came with all the appliances already, you know, on both sides. So it had 1 refrigerator. And that one did kind of get crowded. And it only took me about a year and a half to get another refrigerator. I said, okay, I need 2 refrigerators. Because then we got the 4th room. I got a third refrigerator, just a smaller one. But that's what I have in the laundry room. So I have your 1 main refrigerator, and then I have another full-size refrigerator and a small one. They don't get packed anymore, but you know, sometimes you'll have a tenant that wants to put all their bottled water in the refrigerator. So
so it's those little communication pieces. Like, you don't mind getting in there when there's something abnormal, or that someone actually comments and says, hey, this is a little strange. You don't mind getting in there and having those conversations, and it sounds like they go well for you.
Right. Yeah. So when I screen the tenants, you know, we talk before they rent, and I've been fortunate to just always establish a pretty good relationship open with all the guests, and so they haven't seemed to be hesitant to tell me if there's a need or there's a concern or anything like that. So I feel like it's been pretty open both ways with all the tenants that I've had so far.
Good. Okay, let's dive further into the screening process, because a common chat on social media groups for midterm rentals is nurses are already screened so much that do you need to screen them for the rental? And being in the medical field, I would love to hear your perspective on that conversation. And just FYI, Furnish Finder, Key Check, we do always recommend screening anyone over 18 years of age in the home. That is your first line of defense to starting off correctly with getting the right family or the right person in your home.
Yes, I agree with that as well. I think you should screen everybody, you know, because when it was Airbnb, that screening is a little different. And so when I had the Airbnb guests here for a while, it would have been helpful to me or to my daughter if I knew that they were actually nurses and that they were going back and forth to the hospital. I think we had one that was I don't know if he was working in an engineer or what, but he was the one that would always put his shoes in the shower. But it's so greasy, like I don't know what he was doing or what he worked at. But so now, even with Furnish Finder, now you get people who are requesting or trying to book, but they're not nurses. Or I've had people that have said that they're nurses, and then when I go to screen them, they get funny, and then it take a while, and then, well, I'm not actually an RN per se, I'm an LPN. And I'm like, well, see, you know, that's just like, you know, I'm lucky I decided to screen you, or else I would have had you here, and who knows what else you would have told me. You know, I don't know. I've also had people that have rented in the past come back and try to say they're a nurse, but they're not, because they remember that you're not a nurse, you know, but they like the place, and the price wasn't, you know, the price is actually good for Indianapolis. So, and what you get, when you get a whole house, you get your room. And so they were trying to come back, even though they knew that I was moving towards travel nursing. This is my focus, you know, this is who I want to cater to. I leave the prices low because I know it's travel nurses. If I was going to rent to outside, I would raise the price up.
And I think one more thing you do is you tap into that Furnish Finder travel profile as well. As hosts, if you don't have your Furnish Finder landlord profile built out, you need to do that as soon as you stop listening to this episode, because that is a way for travelers to verify you are who you say you are and find that connection of why they would want to stay with you. So it's important to build out a professional landlord profile. And for those that, you know, don't have your own website or don't have your own booking site, are your Furnish Finder landlord profile is a great link and page where someone can see all of your properties, and you can use that as your website. You could put it on business cards. You could send it to your friends to share that way, or on social media. So just know that those are powerful tools not to leave out. But there's also a traveler profile that Ricardo uses as an additional verification step in his screening process. So tell us about that, Ricardo.
Yeah, so being able to read a little bit about the the tenant helps out a lot. If I get a request and it's a tenant trying to book a room and they haven't filled out like anything, name or where they're coming from, or if they're, or, you know, if they're here for travel, like I might skip over that. I might not get back to it right away, you know? But if I know that someone's, you know, they put on their profile, hey, I'm coming from Kentucky. I'll be working at IU Methodist from, you know, February to May. You know, I'm looking for this or that. It's like, okay. I mean, I get that. And I know that you're here for the real deal. But now that I know that there's outliers out there that will come in and try to just get a room because they think the price is good, then, you know, I'm not so as responsive to them. And if I am, and if I do respond, then the first thing I do is like, I'll send you the key check tenant screening, and then we'll talk after that. So what I do as well with the tenant screening, since it's about $35 or $40, I think, for the tenant to pay for their screening, I will reimburse that. If we move forward with the rental, I reimburse that with their the security deposit. I put that back on top of their security deposit so that it's not a cost to them after all. But if we go through the screening process and they don't pass, then, I mean, I don't reimburse them at that point.
It's with Furnished Finder being a lead generation site for direct booking, you get to have those conversations with your tenants. You get to do the tenant screenings. You get to message them, chat with. I actually had a tenant once who said, hey, do you mind if we FaceTime real quick? Like, I just would love to know more about you. Like, I want to actually see your face and make sure that what I'm thinking is the same. And they wanted to feel secure about everything. And I think all of that is so great because you don't get those options if you have a booking that comes over Airbnb or Vrbo or OTAs like that. But when Furnished Finder is all about making those connections and giving you the opportunity to make the right match. Now, of course, you need to be within the equal and fair housing laws and everything like that. But the point is that we're giving you access to the resources, the leads to make those connections and make sure that the right tenant gets with the right landlord. And that creates the best relationship and the best stay. And everybody ends up the happiest, right? Is when you get some control.
One thing Dave and I do is we put our landlord profile or our landlord picture in our photos, so that as they're scrolling through the photos, not only do they see the properties, but they get a glimpse of who their landlord team would be as well, to start building that trust right from the photos, which is where we know everyone starts. If they don't like your photos, they're not going any further unless you've got like some ridiculous price that they want to know more about. Like the photos is always where you want to put your most effort in describing the placing, setting it up right. So, Katie, unless you've got anything last questions that you want to wrap up with, I think that we've had such a great discussion, and we can go ahead and wrap it up until next week. What do you think?
I think that sounds great.
Ricardo, thanks for being with us. I hope your furnace is working by the time this podcast recording is over. Right. We always put in the show notes how someone can follow up with you. And we all know Furnished Finder listings typically have a phone number you can call the person, or you can reach out through like messaging on Furnished Finder. But is there any other way you want them to connect with you?
Yeah, so if there's anybody that wants to reach out to find a room and see if I have any availability in Indianapolis, you can call my phone or text me on my number is listed on my Furnished Finder profile. I do have an Instagram for the Travel Nurse Oasis Club, and it's just Travel Nurse Oasis Club on Instagram. It's still very new, but I'm trying to grow the you know, the amount of followers and stuff, so that once I start posting and expanding, that I'll have a base already out there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Ricardo. If you are loving our show, you're welcome. If you're loving our show, don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, share with a friend. And if there's any certain topics you want to hear about, we always love your feedback. I appreciate you guys. We'll see you again next week. Bye.
All right. Bye. Thank you.